This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, UC researchers study a new drug in the fight against HIV. First up, when it comes to giving your child's education a boost, it's never too soon to start. Research has shown that early childhood education has significant benefits for children. Joining us to talk about giving kids a head start that will make them better learners and help them throughout life, our Children, Inc. Chief Executive Officer Rick Uhlefeld and Chief Operating Officer Shannon Starkey-Taylor. Children, Inc. is a nonprofit provider of child care, family support, and school aid services in Greater Cincinnati that serves 3,000 children and families every day. You can be part of our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Shannon and Rick, thank you for being here this afternoon. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Rick, what are the benefits of working with kids from an early age?
Well, the thing I really want to talk about is what families can do. Frequently, people think, well, maybe school will make my child smart, or maybe good childcare will make them smart. I really want to talk about what families can do. And I want to talk about the time between 6 months and 42 months. We have only recently learned that children's ability to do well in language is developed between 6 months and 42 months primarily. That means that if a parent reads to the child, talks to the child, sings to the child during that time, that's a prime time for when the child's brain is going to build the capacity to be very, very good in school and go on in whatever career they really want to. And you see, as a parent, and now I'm pretty old, but as a parent, I used to believe that some kids were born smart, some kids weren't, luck of the draw. But what we now know, it isn't that way at all. The children's ability to do really well in language, on which all of school is built, is developed between 6 months and 42 months.
So it literally isn't too early to start.
It isn't too early to start. Let me give you just a small example. Between 6 months and 18 months, the child builds the capacity to tell the difference between the B sound and the D sound, which is 1/1,000th of a second. A child who doesn't hear a lot of language doesn't develop that ability. So it would be like trying to put something on your computer with a software program from today and putting it on a 1990 Apple. It just wouldn't work.
No.
It wouldn't work. And so one message that I would like every parent to know is it's very simple. The most powerful thing you can do, and all of us parents do everything we can to give our children a head start, but the most powerful one that you can give is between 6 months and 42 months, doesn't cost anything, and you want to remember the three T's. Tune in. Look at what your child is focusing on. Talk about that. That's the second T. And the third T is take turns. So people sort of ask me, well, how do you take turns with a 9-month-old because they can't talk? So I tell them, pretend it's a tennis match. The child picks up a Cheerio. He's just served you the ball. You start talking about picking up that little tiny crispy little thing, and the child puts it in his mouth. They've just hit the ball back to you. Because the child looks over and he smiles at you. You keep talking because he just returned the serve. You keep talking, he reaches down to pick up the next Cheerio. You're in a dialogue.
Okay.
Yeah, I think just to add to that, it's the quality of the interactions, too, that matter. And what we like to tell parents, because they often find this interesting, is that the language exposure is what feeds the brain. So parents literally say, I'm feeding the brain of my child, and we say yes. So starting really as early as possible. And sometimes parents do one of the three T's, but what we found is when we teach them the three T's, they tend to observe their child and actually start bonding with them in a different way because they're much more in tune to their interactions. And I'm always amazed at how parents with very young children, newborns and infants, When I say that you're your child's first and most influential teacher, it's almost like they are in disbelief. So when we can help them understand their critical role, I think the things that Rick mentioned come pretty naturally and they actually get excited about it. And that reinforces that for the parent.
Shannon, this has long-term benefits, doesn't
Absolutely.
It? We're not just talking about getting them through school.
We're actually talking about changing the child's, what we used to call the child's IQ. Mm-hmm. We're changing their ability to do schoolwork well. It isn't just that we're building a skill like, well, we're teaching them more words or we're teaching them how to put words together. We're changing their capacity so that when they go into school and the teacher starts talking, they've got all the brain connections they need to understand exactly what she's talking about and respond. And so this is very, very important. All parents have heard from the beginning, read to your kid. But this is a new, bigger why. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if we know a big enough why, we'll change our behaviors. So part of what Children Inc. is doing is it's going out and saying to parents, look, there's no way you would have known that the child's sort of academic intelligence is formed between largely 6 months and 42 months. And there's no way you would have thought you were so important. But you are that important. And it doesn't cost any money. And anybody can learn the three T's. And that's the exciting thing about this.
Talk about the 30 million word gap, because I think that really sends home a message about how important it is to talk to your kids at an early age.
It is. And what we found, unfortunately, is that some parents, because the child doesn't talk, they don't talk to the child. Now, someone like me, who's a person of a few million words, somebody was talking to me all the time. In fact, they probably wish they had talked to me less. But the truth is—
You maybe got 300 million words when you were a kid.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, the truth is that if a child isn't talked to, or they're not talked to much, or the parent doesn't pay attention to what the child is doing and respond— This child will arrive with a much smaller capacity to learn in school. And what we want to do is we want to say, this happens every day in our city. And some of the things that we can do as early childhood people is to make up some of that deficit, but we can't make it all up. The real message is families are so much more important than anyone ever knew because God created us so that our brains developed after birth. And we're the only creatures on earth for whom that's true. And so if that's true, we've got an opportunity, a huge opportunity.
Yeah, and I would go as far as to say at Children Inc., we think this inequality is not acceptable. So we offer a whole array of high-quality child care programs, and we partner with others in the region. But there's a fair amount that for whatever reason, maybe the hours they work or what have you, that they don't access high-quality child care. That's why the parent role is just incredibly important. And we've designed apps that can be free and downloadable that will help parents and push out cues to them so they can read to their child, or tip sheets when they're going to the grocery store, you know, pick out the fruits and pick out the colors that you're using. So I think with this inequity and inequality, I think child care providers recognizing it, but also the role of the parent is critically important.
Yeah, and back up too, because the 30 million word gap, I think, needs to be explained that was a study that looked at children in low-income families, mm-hmm. didn't it?
It did.
Because you mentioned inequity
yes.
there, Shannon.
Yes, that's exactly right. But we're now concerned about the new modern parent who's always looking at their cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would just turn the cell phone off and focus and start talking to their child. So we've got a concern for all families knowing how important they are. And so in that regard, this is really timely today because within the next 2 days— Any parent will be able to go to the App Store and download something called RX for Success. And this will be an app that will explain to them how important they are. It will be a 90-second video of a parent just continually talking to their child. And as long as they keep that app on their phone, every 2 days they'll get a reminder saying, hey, what you're doing makes all the difference in the world. Thank you very much. You are so important in your child's life. And Children Inc. has created 100 different cues so that parents can keep getting this reminder again and again. We'll be sharing this with 28,000 pediatricians across the country who see 4.5 million children. But we also want to share it with every child care center, every Head Start program, every home visitation program. And it's free. And what we really want is that every parent knows what right now only a few people know.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about the children hearing 30 million words less, fewer. I can never keep it straight. But
right.
But tell me, Rick, children who it's quality, isn't it? It's not just the quantity. It's not just that they hear 30 million fewer words. It has to be a quality thing. You can't say me 30 million times and expect the kid to develop any from that. It has to be good quality conversation.
Sure. And what we see is if a parent will tune in and start talking about what the child is doing, we see the quality of the words go up. Over time, we would like the parents to use words like that have shapes in them and have numbers in them. But the first and the largest message is tune in, talk, take turns. After that, all the other words. And obviously, what we really want is we want that child sitting on the adult's lap, because in that time, you're also building the child's most important social-emotional skill, which is the attachment to the parent. So you're right. There is a quality piece, but we're focused on the three T's first, because as soon as you start talking about what the child is doing, the quality of it goes. It can't just be sit down, be quiet,
stop
30 million times. But if you do the three T's, all of a sudden you really are building the vocabulary. And you are teaching the child more than if you just didn't pay attention.
And I think it has such a beautiful outcome when the parent's working on these early literacy skills, because as we mentioned before, they're not even that aware that they're building that attachment and bonding. So by being more in tune with their child, they're able to say when a child, like a baby, gives a disengagement cue, the baby will look away or the baby will cry. Once parents start tuning into that, they're bonding. So we often link early literacy with social-emotional development. That's why when you go to kindergarten, you know, kindergarten teachers will say it's not so much knowing your ABCs, but, you know, allow them to get along with their friends and follow simple instructions. So from very early on, parents being in tune with their child's cues builds that bonding, and they're also, you know, learning all that language development, which is important for school readiness.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us to talk about giving kids a head start that will make them better learners are Children Inc. Chief Executive Officer Rick Uhlefeld and Chief Operating Officer Shannon Starkey-Taylor. And you can join us 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So, Rick, we're talking about helping a child develop vocabulary and develop learning skills. How important is it to help them develop a character when they're young?
Wow. There's so much out there now about the importance of character. You may not know this, but Cincinnati is a center for character science, largely through the work of the Mayerson Foundation and Neil Mayerson in particular. Neil was interested in how do character strengths start to emerge in children. And so through their foundation, they've helped fund some work on how do four-year-olds, five-year-olds, six-year-olds start to develop certain character strengths. So here's the short of this. All of us are a unique combination of 24 character strengths. If you're not sure what your top character strengths are, you can just Google VIA, character strengths, and up will come something where it says, take the survey, and you can take the survey, and in about 30 minutes, it'll say, well, because of what you said, these seem to be your top strengths. What character science says is if you use your top strengths more often in general, you'll be more successful and happier. So one of the things Children Inc. is doing is it's going back to all the families that it's working with and saying, let's all take the character strength thing. So all of our staff have taken it. So up high in the classroom, each staff person has their top five character strengths. As a reminder, use these when you're working with the children. What we want families to know is that each of them has character strengths, and to think about, how do I use my strengths to promote my child's character strengths? And this is a huge thing, because in fours, five, six-year-olds, we start to see certain character strengths like love, like kindness, like curiosity, like sense of humor, like persistence, like love of learning. And if the parent knows to look for certain behaviors, they'll see that, hey, my child's starting to become pretty funny, or they really are curious about stuff. So how do you help them go from, first of all, how do you help them see it? Because as a parent, I'm always looking for the things that I'm trying to get my kids not to do. So how do I get them to focus on the things that I really want to help build? And then what's the most effective way to do that?
Yeah. Well, Rick, and it sounds like it's beneficial for the parent too, because I mean, how many people as adults really know, really understand what their own character strengths are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just chiming in to say the strength spotting is a one word that we like to use with parents. And many of us professionally might have taken the strengths finders and other surveys, and we kind of have the opportunity to do that. But often parents in their workplace aren't taking that. So it's very interesting to see parents when they sit down and reflect and see their own character strengths. And it really encourages them and to have conversations with other teachers and professionals, which are sometimes a hard thing to start. You know, sometimes there's the great divide between the professional and the parent. If you each talk about your own character strengths, it gives a natural platform to build that relationship. And I would say most parents, they're not aware of it, and they take pride in knowing that, and particularly take pride when they're spotting the strengths of their children.
513-419-7100 to join us. Let's talk to Sarah and Clifton. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Okay, so my comment was that I've been reading and talking to my daughter since she was, you know, in the uterus. So she started talking in full, complete sentences by 9 months, and her vocabulary is
wow. Oh my
wow.
goodness.
Now she's six.
That's amazing.
So it is really amazing. So I agree with everything you're saying. And we've read, oh my gosh, so much, you know, when she was younger. And now that she's six, she has things like ballet and choir. So I find us not... in school, so I find us not reading as much as we used to. She'll read to me, you know, daily. But is it, and we still talk a lot, but is it important for us to still be reading, like me reading to her as much as I was when she was younger, or is it okay that we slacked off a little bit on that?
Well, first off, Sarah, we're still over here going, wow. So yes. Congrats and thank you so much for starting so early. I'm so glad that happened for you and your child. And, you know, we do think reading, continuing to read daily is important, but we also think parents should be kind to themselves. The extracurricular activities that you have, and because you're continuing to talk with her, and as you're going on your commutes back and forth to ballet, just that language development's really important. So I think you're taking the language development and just using it in different sources. So I think as long as you're chatting with her, understanding what her interests are, that's still building the social emotional development, and then just maybe trying to squeeze in some reading. But being a foster parent, actually myself, the daily reading can be tricky. So just try to be creative in that.
You've already done the most important thing. You clearly have mm-hmm. helped her build the capacity. So at this point forward, it's more about, hey, she has the intelligence, and now it's all about the next character strength. It's about the persistence. It's about her own will. But you've done the essential piece. You've given her sort of the intelligence to be very, very good. And so here's where sort of the early literacy piece starts to move into the character. How persistent will she be, and how much will she ask of herself? And those are more about character strengths. But congratulations mm-hmm. again. I mean, it's amazing.
She started well before 6 months.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
We had an email from Betsy, and she wanted to know if you could talk about the value of unstructured play, especially if you're playing outside.
Sure. Well, again, it's the parent tuning in to what the child is doing. So if you're outside and your child is having fun picking up a leaf, talking to the child and taking turns about that. If the child's old enough to tell you, you know, leaf mommy, and you say, yeah, brown leaf, that's really cool. You found a brown leaf. And then the child starts to play with the leaf and you keep talking to them. It is free play. The child has chosen, this is what I want to do right now. So this is tuning in and it's talking and it's taking turns. And then, of course, over time, you want to start to ask them questions. Well, what colors do you see in the leaf?
Yeah, I think it's unstructured, but it's intentional. And we like to promote a lot of unstructured time as well, because then you're allowing the child to take the lead on their interests. So I would say unstructured is great, but just still being very intentional.
Let's talk to Maria and Mason. Hi, Maria.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi. So I have the same comment I think as Sarah did. I had my daughter 17 years ago, and as soon as she came out, I talked to her like she was an adult, you know, human person, not just a baby. And I would, you know, we'd go grocery shopping as an infant. I'd say, this is an apple. And I would put the apple in the grocery cart. And she ended up in complete sentences before she was a year.
Wow.
She's now 17 and graduating high school a year early.
Oh, my goodness.
And congratulations.
I would tell people all the time, like, this is what you need to be doing with your kid. And they're like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just really great to hear that I wasn't crazy back then.
Well, you weren't crazy back then, and you're not crazy now.
No. Yeah.
You see, the brain research has really sort of said, look, this is no longer an opinion about how to raise children. This is fact. The brain builds the capacity largely between 6 months and 42 months. Now, a child will always be able to learn past that. We never give up. And there's all kinds of ongoing. The cool thing about human beings is we keep developing capacity to learn if we keep giving ourselves new things to learn all our entire life. But the majority of those of that ability to learn language is 6 months to 42 months. End of argument. A child who's talked to, read to, sung to, there's no question about it. This isn't kind of like, oh, well, that person's theory. No, it's neuroscience.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
Let's talk to Angela in Batavia. Good afternoon, Angela.
Good afternoon. I was just calling in to kind of piggyback on what gentleman was just saying there, that when my children were younger, they're now 14 and 12, both boys, and I knew to read to them. I had to have my bachelor's, and I was a stay-at-home mom to a military husband, and so a lot of times we were at home alone a lot, so we would turn on the radio or our favorite CDs, and we would sing, and a lot of times there would be words in the songs that we might not have come across in a book at their young age, and so we would be able to increase the vocabulary as well as that, like you said, the socio-emotional development of just being able to dance around the living room and be silly and have that connection, you know, and when Dad was able to be home, being able to do that with him as well to strengthen that bond whenever he was able to be there.
It's great. You know, I love that you mentioned singing and dancing around, because as parents, we need to just not be embarrassed to do those kind of things, because children love it. I mean, they literally light up.
Well, she's letting her children be children, too, which I think is a really good thing to do.
And they just love it. And, you know, the research related to music is very clear, too. I mean, that really leaves an imprint in children, and it's a great way for them to learn. And, you know, not to do too much of a shameless plug, but I want the listeners out there to know that we have some music called Growing Sound that we put out for the community that really teaches children and parents how to sing together and promote attachment and initiative. So I love that you did that naturally. And then for those parents out there that want to have some tips or music, you can just go to childreninc.org and look up Growing Sound. But congrats, because it's much more than just reading and talking to your child.
I just want the listeners to know that this message is about what we're talking about today is there's no substitute for family.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't like we can just put children in front of Sesame Street, because it's the interaction. It's somebody noticing what I'm doing and taking turns with me. And right now, television doesn't sort of look into your living room and say, oh, you're building blocks. Oh, you put the blue block on top of the red block. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need to understand how important we are. We're irreplaceable. And it is that personal relationship where you're tuning in, talking and taking turns. And it's about us. And that really is the coolest thing about being human beings. Somehow we've been given a new opportunity to kind of change tomorrow. A cow can't produce a better calf, but we can help our children go places that we never went. And we can help our children go further than we went. And that's a sort of a great gift that we've been given. And I just want parents to know how utterly important they are, what a difference they can make.
I think that's a good place to end, Rick. Shannon, thank you very much.
Sure.
Rick, thank
Pleasure.
You very much. We Thanks appreciate you being
us.
Here this afternoon. Children Inc. Chief Executive Officer Rick Uhlefeld and Chief Operating Officer Shannon Starkey.